Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Young people, do you have your Bibles tonight? Great. Thank you, Wayne. That was beautiful. Adults, do you have your Bible tonight? Not a single word. Galatians 1 4. Speaking of Christ, who gave himself for our sins. There was a reason for that, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. According to the will of God and our Father. The book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, if you are alive in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He's in heaven, but we're told that he supplies our every need according to his riches in glory. One last reading, as far as the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and arose from him. Which is scripture hands his way and faith to this man that God would help me as we bring the message tonight. I need your help, God. I ask you to anoint me with the Holy Spirit. I ask you to anoint these people with spiritual ears, that it will not be lost because their minds are drifting, but they're Christians. They should have the mind of Christ. Will it be registered in that mind and in that heart tonight? In Jesus' name. Everyone say amen, and you may be seated. To get down to the message tonight, I must need reference several things from this morning. And that is, it's said here that we no longer know Christ after this Christ. Every relationship that we enter into with Christ is a spiritual matter. I can promise you, everything that we deal with is still not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We know him no more after the flesh. You have to know him spiritually. One reason is, he that supplies all of our needs, his resources, none of it comes from him. God said, the earth is going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. God said, I'm going to make a new heaven, and a new earth, where dwelleth the righteousness of God. Well, don't be a different place. Down here, things are wicked, and they're getting more wicked. The Word of God tells us things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And we see that. I know my age. You may look at me as an old man, but there's one thing about getting old. You don't look at yourself that way. Thank you. I think of myself like I always do. I'm just me. Our resources are spiritual. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. I told you this morning, read the book of John. Everything John said, there's one coming after me. Who's too righteous? I'm not worthy to unloose. The Bible tells you that John was a forerunner of Christ. When Elizabeth was pregnant with John, and then Mary conceived the Christ, when Elizabeth goes to see Mary, Mary tells her, I'm going to have a child. I did not know the man. The angel told me. It's going to be the Son of God. Mary said, the babe, that would be John the Baptist. the babe within my womb leaps. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from the mother's womb. So John knew Christ. Jesus said, no man is born of woman, there's none greater than John. Right? But read the book of John. I listened to it maybe a week or 10 days ago. I just bore me reading. I was listening to it. But God is saying there through this man that Jesus declared to be greater. What he is saying is, if you're dirty, if you're unclean, if you're in sin, if you're breaking the heart of God, you've got to become clean. You've got to be washed in the blood. You must repent. You must seek God. That's not the will of God for the condition of your life. Everything is bound up with the fact that God has chosen through Christ the plan of salvation. Did you ever hear that song, The Plan of Salvation? I can't remember if it was the Hensons or who it was that sang it. It's a beautiful song. The plan of salvation. Everything is that we are to be birthed of God. I said this morning, we are a people that are unrecognized and unknown. But yet it is us. I'm talking about Christians. That God has worked in. Let me, I'm trying to remember exactly where we left off this morning. Oh, there will come a time in this earth when men's hearts are going to fail them for fear, for looking on the things that are coming on this earth. Prototypes, other means of death, anxiety, fears, nerves. It's going to happen. But I don't believe that one Christian is going to commit suicide. I don't believe that one Christian is going to experience these anxieties and fears. Why? Because God said He gave us peace. He gives us rest. He gives us the reality of overcoming power. Not one weapon that has been formed against you will prosper. God never formed that weapon. The devil did. He's out to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. He's busy. Men's heart, he said, will fail them for fear. The only fear that the Christian has is the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. I don't know. I don't know how all of these things are going to work themselves out in experience, but every bit of our experience needs to be built on what the Word of God says. Do you ever remember when anyone at the point of death, or torture, or anything else? The only thing that I can remember when the ship was in the storm, Jesus told him, said, fear not. There had to be some fear there, or he wouldn't have said that. But he walked on the water to get where they were, so he said, don't you be afraid. He will go wherever he has to go and do anything by any miraculous means that he has to use to get to you in your adversity, in your trouble, in your trials, in your anxiety. And what does he say? My peace I give unto you. It is a peace that the world can give, and the world can't take it away. This is the first time I've not seen Brother Noble here since he went out of town. That man, it makes no difference what you preach him. It makes no difference what you say. He's always got one thing. Joy! 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 I preach this morning, he comes through right here. And he said, joy. Why not? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Think about it, if you will. One of the great books of the Bible is 1 Thessalonians, 5 chapters 1. Every chapter ends with the coming of the Lord. But in those 5 chapters, they are full of joy. Paul thanked the Lord, he said, on every remembrance of them. When he thought of the Thessalonians, he thought of joy. You get it? I want to remind you, who was it that said it? Was it Isaiah, Daniel, whoever? He said, if the running of the horses has weaned you, what are you going to do when you walk? It's like, when the foot will weigh you, what are you going to do with the running of the horses? If you think that you're seeing bad things now, be it out of the government, whatever avenue it takes, that footman, if the footman have wounded you, what will you do with the horses? I believe that was Daniel. In the Word of God, men went to God, and they said, Lord, you tried me. I know that I'm your child. I know that I've not compromised. I know that I have withstood everything that came my way. Why? Why, God? I don't think it's wrong to question God. Why, God? Was it Daniel that said, I asked that question until I went to the house of God and I saw that final end? This thing is not over. You need to see the finality of this. Somebody said, well, I will when it happens. You have to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You can't go by your feelings. You can't go by your emotions. You can't go with the person that says, what the leader of the house says, what the leader of the Senate says, what the leader of the Supreme Court says. I disagree with all of them, to be honest with you. I told you this morning, when Paul said, I show you a mystery, that you and I are born and birthed of God. We are a mystery in this world. They can't figure us out. They can't understand us. But this one thing, we are known of God. And it's God that leads us, guides us, directs us. Paul, to that church in Thessalonica, there's a lot of things going on. He had to deal with it. You see, someone had gone into that church and begun to preach that the end had come. I believe it's chapter 4. Paul said, there are those who said, don't believe it. The end has not come. And the end will not come until it begins to name the things that will come before the end appear. And I can tell you, the things that he said will appear before the end has come, they've come. They have appeared. The devil is loose, but he knows his time is short. But do you know, the devil cannot do anything that God does not permit him to do. We all have troubles, tribulations. Some are more severe than others. I told you about it, but it's a good example about the man that had a dream. He was always talking about God. I don't know why you gave me this heavy burden to bear. I don't know why I had to carry this heavy load and others about getting back so soon. One night he had a dream. And God told him in that dream, you go out. The fields were full of suitcases or whatever they were. And God told him, said, you go pick the one you want to. You want to go. You go get the burden you want to go. And I'm going to let that be your burden. He went about. He got to pulling on me, that, whatever. He couldn't touch him. Finally, he found one that he felt like he could handle. And when God showed him, that was his burden. And this suitcase all the time. God could not bear. He could not bear them. We think that God has put more on us than we're able to bear. He promised not to do that. I will not put more on you than you are able to bear. Paul said, I am full of joy. He said, I thank God for every remembrance of you. When he wrote about it, he couldn't speak too highly of it. When he wrote his epistle, if there's one reason, I said, well, I go about John, you've got to be clean. You've got to be washed. But do you know what? God has people that are clean. God has people that are washed. I preached the message here years ago. Not everything is going to hell. People think that everything is going to hell. But it's not. God has the people. And I tell you, when you call me, when you send me a text, when you send me an email, when you contact me, however you contact me, there's a joy. There is a joy hearing from you. That's the way it was with Paul. He said, I thank God every time I think of you. He said, I never remember. That's what it means. Every time I think of Brenda Johnson, I have a joy. Every time I think of Brenda Henderson, I have a joy. I don't understand some people that call and they start out with an apology and they end with an apology. After I'm sorry, I have to come. I'm so sorry. I wish I didn't have to tell you. Come on. We bear one another's burdens. If you've got a burden, I need to help you bear that burden. If you're in a dilemma, you need to feel me standing right beside you in the middle of that dilemma. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. You're not making this on your own. You're making this by the power of God. You're an overcomer by the power of God. He sold those Christian icons to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from him. That was part of the commendation that he was giving you. That was part of, maybe the wrong word, that was part of the praise that he was giving you. You've been washed. You've come out. You're not a sinner. You're not breaking the heart of God. You're not doing your own thing. I have great joy when I hear about you, when I hear what's going on in your life. My brother over here, stage 4 cancer, the pancreas, and the liver. My heart breaks. I think we talk every day. I think. That's not the kind of a report that we want to hear. But when you hear the report and you pull it side by side, I don't know where Linda went, but Linda told me when we were at the house the other day, my wife and I picked him a meal. She said, you'll never know what our church family means to us. They call us, preach to us, pray for us. I commend you for that. I commend you for that. That is proper. That is the will of God. And when I hear that you do that, and when we hear among ourselves that others do it, it brings great joy. But I say this, we serve the true and the living God. That man served the true and the living God. And we are waiting for Jesus to come and heal him. We are waiting for those who have gone before us, that there will come a glorious sound from heaven. Come up hither, come up higher. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they used to believe that you would blink your eye in 1/20th of a second. In this computer simulation, they know that it is multiples beyond that. Going to change this sick body, if not by healing, then with the coming of the Lord. I'm not always going to be a stroke victim. I'm not always going to wobble when I walk. I want you to pray for me that God get me over that despising the way it goes sometimes. Two letters to the church at Thessalonica. And in both of them. Let me say this. It's one thing when we have anxieties about ourselves. How did you just prepare the message? I believe what Paul is saying. I know you, so I don't have any anxiety about you at all. Does that make sense to you? Living in this present evil world, somebody says, "Preacher, aren't you afraid that she, my bride, I'm in that bride, is going to fall away?" No, I have no anxiety about that. I have no fear about that, and that brings me joy. Because I know greater is God that is in them than the God that is in this world. It was good that he did not have any anxiety about it. But if you would look at the church in Corinth, the church in Corinth, Brother Clinton used to tell us, they were the crossroads of merchandise, and that they were, it was the most wicked city on the earth. They worshipped prostitution. If you compare Thessalonica with Corinth, you will find that Thessalonica loved God. They were clean, as John said. They had come out of the sin. The Corinthians, they were always simply digging the hole deeper. That's the reason God had to encourage Paul with these words. I have many in that city. But Paul said, may not have been. I told you this morning, we have got to overcome a divided time. It's very true and very real. This resurrected life. I know that one day, my wife and I will have this mausoleum out here at the cemetery, Forest Lawn. Do you remember Pat Galloway? She used to sell, you know, to work there. She came to us one day. She said, "I'm going to get a deal that you can't pass up. I'm going to sell you a place in that mausoleum." That's where Brother Clinton and his lessons are made. So we bought four. So my wife says, "We're going to be buried in the fire company. There we will await the resurrection of the dead." But let me tell you that if you are born once, you will die twice. If you are born twice, you will die once. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you. I and you have, in this present evil world, we have already been resurrected. Well, I can see that inside of you. We have already experienced a resurrection. Wherein I was dead, now I live. Wherein I was blind, I now can see. That old body was overcome by sin. That new man, born of God, he can see. Paul said, "God, anoint their eyes with eyesight that they may be able to see." That's what happens in that new birth. You get vision. You can see. You can see what you couldn't see before. You know that the Lord, in this present evil world, has delivered us. In the world, but not a part of it. In the world, but have been resurrected into that new creation, into that new creature in Christ. There's no comparison. You know, there's a chance of something. And I'll tell you what, one of these days, I may quit serving to you. One of these days, I may be with you like Jesus was with that rich young man. I mean, he talked with him. Encourage you, and you hit one spot, tell everything that you have. Give it to me. The man went away, but Jesus never went following after saying, "Let's try this." And I'm going to tell you that this spiritual life There is a learning process. There is a learning process. You may not think that it's important to have your kids in Sunday school. You may not think it's important for you to be in Sunday school. I wish I could remember how many years ago it was. I don't even remember where I was. I just remember the story. There was a judge, a criminal judge, and he said from the bench how long he had been there, and those that had come before him, the things that they had committed. Just listen to me. This is a true story. But that judge changed the way it was told me. That judge said, there's one thing I've never had in this world. I've never had a person that was laid in charge. I've never had one young person, one criminal, to answer for his crime that was raised in charge. We have great teachers in this church. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I believe the word I'll see some things that we maybe never expected to experience. So many things in the word of God. I'm glad I still have the Spirit of God. It frightens me when I read what God says. There's going to come a time when you could call upon me and I will not hear. You'll call upon me. Listen, it's frightening to me when God said, right at the Bible, over the doorpost, it's dead. God is merciful. He never put that Ichabod over that doorpost until there was one hope. It frightens me. I want to hear every man of God as the preachers brings the message, talks to me. Because God, when people did not listen to the message, God gave them instructions. Knock the dust off of your feet as a witness to God's truth. You remember that? Time and time and time again. God's good one. That's His promise. But there's one thing that none of us can fully understand. And that is that we don't have to do this. Turn Noah away. 120 years. 7 days in advance, Noah, his family, and two of every part of animal on this earth went into the ark. You know what they did for 7 days? They sat there. They sat there in the ark. Now, I'm just imagining the people on the outside. I can't prove this. But I believe I know what they were doing. You see, it had never rained. It had never rained. Here's the man saying, you better get on this boat. It's going to rain. The floods are going to come. I imagine just knowing the nature of people that God bring around the roses around the park. They're just sitting there. They're just sitting there. They're not coming out for fresh air. You know why? Because God had sealed the door. God had not sealed the door. I don't think to keep Noah in. Noah went in by faith and his wife, from him and Jacob and their wives. I don't believe he shut that door and sealed it to keep them in. They weren't. That's just, I wonder when it's coming in. Like 2 days, 3 days, they pulled all down. When the heavens opened, and that which had never been seen begins to happen, starts raining. The fountains of the deep open up, and that ark that they made fun of, and those people that they made fun of, like they made fun of us now, they begin to ride that ark on top of the land. Instead of raining. I want to give you a verse of scripture, first Peter, I believe it's the Bible says that 8 souls were saved by water. But they were saved by staying out of it. So don't let anybody tell you that. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. something of setting in our mind and in our thinking. But many of them are the wrong things. They're so firmly thick that you can't reason with them. You can't smell it. The Bible talks about enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. The people of this world that are enjoying what they do, you can't smell it. You can't deal with them. You know why? Because they don't want to. I dream every night and I preach to you. We need to pray that God the Holy Ghost will send godly conviction on them that they cannot avoid, that they cannot see. There are values in our culture. You just have to pray with them. There are comparative values between technology and culture. Those five chapters in the first chapter that deal with the coming of the Lord. People without God, that's the strike of fear in their hearts. But it doesn't. I believe that it should start and awaken the believer. Because if you're a believer, you know what it's going to take to make successfully into the presence of God. Where do we abide? We abide on that resurrection territory. We live that life consistently that we entered into when we come to know Jesus. We live that life. So that means that we're no longer living for this life, but we are living for God. And the reason that we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? The reason we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil is because we've moved from the territory of death into the territory of resurrection. And when the devil throws something at us, we say, get behind me, Satan. When the devil tries to entice us, we'll be like Jonah. I'm going to retain my integrity. Even though God's waiting, I'm going to trust you. God does have people in this present evil world. You know it? You should know it. Because we are in an evil world and we are a child of God. It's good to know that we belong to you. God's people in this present evil world. You're not defeated. Jesus said, I overcome. And because I overcome, you're going to overcome. We're overcomers. I like that quote that comes from open eyes. I told Jim last year to try to reach him and see if we could schedule him. We got to schedule it for the whole summer. But nothing else, I like the name overcomers. They seem brave and a great testimony. Maybe we can get them back. But notice one thing. We are in a land and in a place and in a world, according to the Apostle Paul, that is an evil world. And I'm looking at the people tonight that you're not evil, you're precious, you're clean, you're washed. No matter what you used to be, we all have the past. We all have things that we are ashamed of. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new creation.